Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Seattle Restaurant Podcast. I was waiting for Dave to take a drink of coffee before he just yelled in the mic. David, now that you're taking a big sip of coffee, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, man. It's been a rough couple days, but yeah.
What happened over in Snoqualmie?
So there's these wonderful women that own businesses across the street, Chickadee, Big Shot, Snoqualmie Pie Company, Snoqualmie Ice Cream, and then there's a photo studio upstairs that I don't know that person, but I met her yesterday, and she's lovely human. And anyway, we had a huge commercial fire about 5 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and it
on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it took out a big part of our neighborhood. The building was 1925. All the businesses are a loss. Luckily, nobody was hurt. But, I mean...
How old was that building?
1925.
Jesus.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just... There's a lot of crying and a lot of hugging.
Yeah.
And now there's going to be a lot of raising money to help these people. So, if you're interested in being part of that solution, there's a GoFundMe on Buckshot Honey's stories and my personal page, and I'll keep everybody updated. I know the city and the chamber and some other folks are having, you know, there's gonna be a lot of different fundraisers,
right?
And hopefully we can get these businesses back up and running and stronger than they ever were.
Totally. Well, yeah, very unfortunate to hear, but it sounds like the community is going to band together and hopefully something beautiful will come out of it.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a long story to tell, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest. My man, Damien from, I want to make sure I pronounce it right, Dosey Donuts?
Dosey Donuts.
Dosey Donuts. And where are you located?
We are located on Stoneway Avenue in Fremont.
Yep.
And we just opened a second location in South Lake Union.
I'm so excited to talk about this. And then this is going to be a fun one. On my right, Julie, who are you and what's the name of your project?
I'm Julie, and my current project is opening up a new food truck called Heart and Soul.
And I wanted to have you on because this is the exciting part. You haven't worked in the food industry. Right?
No, I have.
You have.
I'm coming from like 20 years of food industry.
Yeah, but recently, were you in food?
Yeah, I've been out of it for the last 2 years.
Okay,
I left it in order to start this.
Got it. Okay, so I totally had my story wrong, but it's
going
to be fun to talk about. But I want to go into this little spiel real quick. Every week when I do the edit the podcast, when I put in all the information, it's like, oh, explicit content, and like here's the picture, and blah blah blah. And it always says like pick your season. And with this podcast, like, I've never, like, I always kind of laugh at them, like, seasons. Like, there's no seasons. And, like, we just do this every week, whatever. And, so last week was episode 52. And it didn't really mean anything to me. But then a bunch of stuff happened this week. And so first of all, I want to welcome you, Dave. Welcome to season 2 of the Seattle Restaurant Podcast.
Oh, hey.
And,
hey, it's nice to be here.
And here's why. Something crazy happened to me this week, and I just kept on making this joke with my girlfriend. I'm like, oh, season 2. We're going to season 2 because, you know, The Bear ended, which was, you know, a 3-month project. We're just about to get into summer. There's new characters in my stories, you know, like, you know, having Josh Henderson back, you know, working in the same kitchen. It's like,
bumping butts.
You know, I was for the last, I've been there maybe 2 years now. For the last 2 years at this kitchen, it's been, I haven't told everything about it because there's been some crazy shit that's happened. And, you know, like, I didn't want to get into the negative parts, but like, it's been kind of a weird ride. It's, you know, I love my kitchen, but I'm there by myself. And on the other side is Last Call of the Bar, and they have a kitchen in there. And the last two tenants weren't they weren't super nice to me, and they like to borrow stuff from me. And it was just kind of a pain in the ass. But, you know, I just never want to rock the boat. So first people, they get kicked out. I'm like, finally, they're gone. And then this new guy comes in. He's not the best. And then they kick him out. And then they're like, hey, do you know anyone? And then I hit up Josh, and it worked out. And now I feel like I can breathe. Like, I don't feel like I have to worry about my shit being stolen, whatever. So, you know, I might have talked about this. You know, I said, like, Ariana has been doing the dishes for Kutu. You know, just like, you know, it was going to be like a little side thing, whatever. turns out having a professional hairstylist jump into like a professional dishwashing role isn't the best idea. You know Ariana, yes. That's actually how we met. It wasn't a great idea. And we tried it for a couple weeks, but like, you know, someone like, you know, it's just hard walking into like 4 days of dishes and just yeah. like it's overwhelming, you know, and it smells like curry and it's disgusting. And, you know, it takes a certain kind of person. So this last week was a rough one. We had Taco Libre, then we had Fremont Market, then we had The Bear. And so just from those three events, there was a big pile of dishes. Yeah. And so and I'm like, Aaron, you don't have to do them anymore. Like, I will take care of them. And I'm like, so. I usually have my kids on Wednesdays. This week was Maya's 10th birthday, so baby mama took her to Disneyland.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Maya. So I go in on Wednesday to the kitchen to go do these dishes. Keep in mind, I usually have my kids. So I'm never in the kitchen on Wednesdays. It's about 2 o'clock, and I get there, and Josh is there, and I'm kind of explaining the situation. I'm staring at this big load of dishes. Let me also say this. It was freezing in the kitchen. And I get there, I look around, I don't have any hoodies there. The only thing I have is a chef jacket from The Bear. So I put on my chef jacket to put on dish and start doing dishes. I'm bitching with Josh, and I'm just like, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, this is overwhelming because I'm starting to think about what am I going to do this summer? Like, I'm not going to be able to do this. This is like half the dishes it's going to be. And I'm starting to freak out. Like, I need to find a solution. While I'm talking to Josh, literally I get a knock on the back door, and this guy walks in and goes, hey, I'm looking for a job. I can dishwash and prep.
And where do you start?
I literally just screamed, season 2, baby! And like, yeah, so like, how did, like, I, like, he, it was so funny because he was kind of in the wrong place. I'm never there at that time. I never wear a chef jacket. And like,
the universe gifted it to you.
In just such a crazy way. Guess what his name is?
Oh, God.
It's Jesus. No, I don't know. I'm very excited about this year. He knocked out dishes in seconds and like prepped. He used to be he's a chef.
Did you pay him in Cthulhu food?
I'm actually going to pay him like a real human being. So I'm just really excited about this summer. Like, it solves a lot of my problems of just the fatigue and he was a chef in Hawaii for like 10 years working like these crazy fine dining restaurants.
He's got room for growth with you.
Say what?
He's got room for growth.
Oh, absolutely.
To grow with your
company. Totally. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And you know, we've talked a lot about having employees, and you know, it's never been exciting to me. And like what I was talking to Josh was, I was like, I don't want to go through the route of like blasting out ads and like interviewing 40 people. I don't have the fucking, that's my thing. I don't have time to interview 40 people. Like, and this fucking blessing comes in. All right, guys. Welcome to season two, guys. Sorry to drag that out for too long. Damien, let's just jump right into it. How did you get started in donuts?
I come from a family of bakers. Yep. My family has owned bakeries for over 20 years.
In Seattle? Or?
Back in Venezuela.
Okay.
And then in Miami. My sister still owns a bakery in Miami. We moved in 2019 because of my wife. She works for a company here.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to do something food related. I knew it wasn't a bakery. Too many items.
Yeah.
You need a large space.
Yep.
So when I moved to Seattle, I noticed how people love donuts.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Yeah. Dave is eating one right now. Yeah.
I asked my dad, since he's a baker, to help me develop a recipe. We started looking for places back in 2019, but back then, before COVID, the landlords, you know, we show them the financials. We show them we had a plan, but they didn't want to bet on on a family business.
Yeah.
They were basically looking for big corporations.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen back then. Then after the pandemic, we started like looking again.
Yeah.
We were lucky. We found a landlord that was able to work with us. Meaning that most of the places, new places, are with type hood one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something that we need.
Yep.
They are, they're big.
Yep.
They're 2,000 square feet
yep.
or more.
Yep.
This landlord was able to accommodate us with a 900 square feet space.
Yeah.
We opened a year ago. It's been...
Just a year, wow.
Yeah, 11 months. Yeah, next month is going to be a year.
Did you already have the name, or is this old, brand new?
No, when we moved to Seattle, something that called my attention was, you know, I saw the flag with the number 12 everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted to do something related to our culture.
Yeah.
You know, we're Latinos and to the city.
Yeah.
So 12. 12 means 12 in, you know, in Spanish.
Oh, my God. That's so, so brilliant.
It's, about Seattle, something, you know, or culture.
Coming to Lumen Field.
Yeah.
Dossie Donuts.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk about South Lake Union in a second. Julie, were you, okay, first of all, welcome to season two. Julie is going to be a character that's going to be re-coming, coming up on the podcast, maybe, because she's going to be sharing the kitchen with me.
Nice.
So she's been, how long has it, have you had the food truck and you've been trying to get up and running?
So I got the food truck, let's see, back in 2022, late 2022. Yeah. And I sat on it for a little while because I had just had a baby.
Yep.
It just needed to sit. Then early 2023, spring-ish, I started putting it together, getting things going, realized that I was not fully up to code.
Yep.
So here I am trying to work it out to get it up to code and all that kind of stuff, get it built out the rest of the way.
Yeah. That's so complicated.
It's a thing. and real quick, you said you've been cooking for about 20 years. What are some of your, what's your background?
You know, most of it is personal. Mm-hmm. Came from a background of just cooking at home. Everything was scratch made. Yep. Growing it in the garden, pulling it, all that kind of stuff. And then I kind of lost that for a little while. But after college, I decided I had to get back in food because that's where my real passion was.
Yeah.
And strange enough, it's actually been in donuts.
So where was that?
So I was working at Mighty O Donuts
for
several years.
So good.
Yeah.
So that was the last place I was at. Cool. I started, you know, slinging coffee at first, actually, and then worked my way into the bakery.
Cool.
Helped to reinvent some things and some new flavors.
And okay, let's talk about Heart and Soul. What is the concept? What's the menu going to be like?
So the concept is Korean street food. Personally, when I cook at home, everything is kind of fused together.
Mm-hmm.
I love to take like original Korean flavors, mix it up, and bring in some other cultures and see what it's like.
Yeah.
But as I'm out there eating and stuff like that, I realized, well, yeah, Korean food is getting really popular in the greater Seattle area, but it's more fusion type, type stuff. And so I decided I wanted to go kind of pure to my roots.
Yeah.
So I decided that last year we went on a trip to kind of go figure out what those roots were, get like really down into the ingredients.
Inspired,
so we went to Seoul and visited South Korea.
You hit all the street food too.
I hit all the street food as much as
I could.
What
are some of the highlights?
The food.
All of it.
Koreans love food. From savory to sweet to everything in between. So you could get fresh knife cut noodles on the street. You could get fresh pastries. Things on skewers are it's huge on the streets of Korea. Everything from sweet to spicy and everything in between. So I took that and I brought it back and I decided I'm going to give people what you can get on the streets that you can't get anywhere else.
Cool. So like give us some of your menu items.
There's one fusion one. It's my beef bulgogi burrito.
Yep.
But other things are going to be like I'm doing original Korean fried chicken and thakkachi, which is basically something on a skewer. Thuk means rice. So it's going to be like rice cakes with sausages or just rice cakes. Yeah. And then it's got this like nice sweet and spicy glaze kind of brushed over it afterwards. And I'm going to bring in a couple of sweets that you can only really get truly in Korea.
Cool.
One of them is choco pies.
And what's that like?
It's kind of like the Korean take on moon pies.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But stuffed with fresh cream and strawberries and then coated
sounds
in chocolate.
Yeah. Use some of that baking skills. Yeah. Love it. And so what have been the ups and downs of starting the business?
The biggest up is like putting myself out there.
Yeah.
And trying to make this creation come to life.
Because you said you've done some caterings.
I've done some caterings recently.
How's it been like having people, like a big group, try your food and get feedback?
It's been uplifting.
Yeah.
Is like, I don't know how else to put it, because like sharing food is amazing for me. Like, cool. I love to cook at home. I love to cook for friends. And so now getting it out there to the public and getting their responses has been just a huge joy. Because now I'm like seeing it and feeling it and I'm hearing it. And people are like, we love what you're bringing us. So I know that I'm like on the right path right now.
I think so too. I think Korean food, especially Korean street food, isn't represented as strongly as I think it should be. And you know, I have some Korean. There's a this wonderful lady song who just closed her bakery across the street from my restaurant. And when she wasn't trying to bake for the neighborhood, she was putting out some solid family recipes from her background of Korea. And I kept trying to talk her into it. I'm like, you should do this, you know. But yeah, I'm super happy to see someone else taking this off.
Yeah, thanks.
Before we get into how you're building your costs, Damien, I'd love to talk to you about costs. And it's something you kind of mentioned in a text of like with donuts, you know, how do you price them? Because there's so much labor into it. People might say the ingredients are cheap, or at least the base ingredients are cheap. But, you know, there's still a ton of labor in them. They're beautiful donuts. They're obviously like, you know, each one's crafted. How do you come up with your pricing?
So when we started, I visited some familiar places here. Mm-hmm. So I started with that. You know, I use them as a benchmark.
Yep.
But like you said, if I really have to price the donuts for the labor that they take, just say like I have a tres leches donut that is like 10 steps to make. You know, I would have to like price them a lot, you know, more, you know, way more expensive than they are.
What are the 10 steps in making a tres leches donut?
Basically, our dough, we use a 24-hour brioche dough.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day, we use a sheeter to laminate the dough, cut them by hand, proof them, fry them. Then you have to, for the tres leches, you have to cut the top off, put a chocolate crust on the bottom, then poke the donut, then with the tres leches mix, basically soak the donut on the tres leches, like a regular tres leches cake, and then you have to make a meringue. Decorate the donut, torch the meringue, and then sprinkle some cinnamon. So that's right there, like 10 steps.
How many of these are you busting through a day?
On the weekends, we make of the tres leches of over 200.
Wow.
Yes.
And how long does it take you to do that?
We are there, I mean, bakers are there since 3 in the morning.
Yep.
Pastries come at 5, and we open at 8. We have right now 9 flavors, so roughly 3 to 4 hours to decorate and then start prepping for the next day.
Wow.
But
How big's your team?
Right now we have 6 people in the Fremont location and 2 on the Salt Lake Union. We make most of the donuts on the Fremont location. But like you said, with pricing, a lot of people tend to see, you know, a donut and they compare you, you know, with the cheaper options.
Yeah, like the Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme.
Correct.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, we had a lot of negative feedback.
What, how much are your donuts right now?
They go from like the OG $4.50, which is what everybody charges for.
I'm sorry, how much?
$4.50.
$4.50, yep.
And then the, you know, like the tres leches, or we have a creme brulee filled with passion fruit custard, they're $5.99. At the beginning, they were $6.50.
Yeah.
We actually had to lower it to $5.99. Because when people were paying for the donuts, they were like, $7 for a donut? How dare you? I mean,
I just paid $7 for 2.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that people pay now $5.99 for a donut and $7.50 for a coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't complain about the coffee, but they do complain about the donuts.
The machine makes. Yeah.
There is a perception issue, you know, when it comes to donuts.
Labor, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're super labor intensive. We do everything from scratch. We don't use any premixes. The custards, the dough, everything is made by hands.
Yeah.
You know, like, it takes a lot of time and effort.
Totally. Yeah, and you know, we want to value people, and that's how you pay them, is by raising, you know, it's and you know, I think I told you I went to Krispy Kreme for the first time ever. Like, I've had Krispy Kreme because it's always that like catering and stuff like that, but like I went to the drive through and because Ariana was talking about the free donut thing with like the lights on or
you
whatever.
You go to the one in Soto?
No, I was. It's by my gym. Like, right. I go to the gym and then go get my
stuff. You should have that shit inside the gym.
Yeah. But yeah, and like I think I got, you know, like it's still like $3-4 for a donut from like for one of the like the fancier ones from Krispy Kreme. So I don't think $4.50 to $6 is that crazy, because you dropped off some donuts at my commissary. That's the nice thing about the commissary. We have a lot of friends that
I gotta get over to this commissary.
Yeah, it's a party, man. And yeah, they're gorgeous and they're amazing. You said you like to interject your culture into the donuts. Other than tres leches, what are some other examples of that?
We also have a churro donut. You know, we have many Mexican friends. We love going to Mexico. Yep. We have a Mexican hot chocolate donut,
yep.
A churro. We have one donut that has a guava and cream cheese.
Yep.
It's like a cheesecake.
And what days are you open at Fremont?
Wednesday through Sunday.
Okay, I was like, wait,
what are the hours?
In Fremont, 8 to 1. In South Lake Union, the same, but in South Lake Union, 9 to 1:30 on the weekends.
And do you typically sell out most days?
On the weekends, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
On the weekdays, you know, that's one of the reasons we opened the second location in South Lake Union.
Offload some donuts over there. Yeah.
Yes, the Fremont location, it's a combination of commercial with more, you know, like family, right. You know, a customer base. We're looking for more of that, you know, weekday customer,
yep.
On the South Lake Union place.
Yeah. How many? You said so. How many donuts are you bringing over there? Like on a random day, like a Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday.
400, 450.
450, yeah. And that's a good number to sell out.
Yes,
and
that's on a weekday.
And you're doing no baking there.
No,
it's all being made in Fremont.
Decoration,
then,
both.
Yeah. Okay.
Both of the places, they have an open kitchen. That's yeah. Something that, you know, going to restaurants, I love to see. I love to see how everything works.
Yeah.
So, if you go to the Fremont location, every day you can see. If you go early in the morning, you can see. My dad working there with yep. The other baker, making the dough, making the donuts. If you go between 5 in the morning and 9, you can see all the pastry chefs decorating, making the custards. That's something that you don't get to see yeah. In other businesses.
Yeah.
So that's something that I wanted people to see too, like how everything gets
yeah,
made.
Fuck you, Dunkin' Donuts. Fuck you, Ben Affleck. So, Julie, you've
Ben Affleck.
there's the name of the podcast. Fuck you, Ben Affleck. Fuck you, Dunkin' Donuts. Fuck you, Ben Affleck. You too, J-Lo.
Whoa.
Let's talk about pricing. While you're getting up and running, you've been paying rent. You bought the truck. Have you paid any health permits yet?
Yes.
Okay, so you're in, like.
That was my question. You got all your little stickers?
Well,
almost.
Here we go.
That's where I'm a little delayed. I'm missing a sticker.
L and I.
Which one?
Yeah.
L and I?
Yeah.
Is it the safety glass or are you like a milli-inch away from your plumbing?
No, I'm just still waiting for the first inspection.
Oh, they're waiting for them to come to you?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, you got a lot of money into this. Have you wrapped it at all? Or
I just got it done.
Cool, nice.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. right, any mechanical issues with the truck?
I mean, there have been, of course, and I've fixed them.
What kind of question is that, Sid?
No shit. Okay, so if you don't mind sharing, you don't have to if you want to, but like yeah. Right now, before even open the doors, what do you think you're in?
I mean, a lot.
So, okay, cool. sorry to beat you up on this.
No, it's an honest answer.
Okay.
It's an honest answer.
I mean, it's a lot. I mean, it can be a good number, but a scary number yeah. For a lot of people. I'm not like one that likes to always shout out my numbers.
Sure,
so,
fine.
Well, if it makes you feel better, one time I went down to Portland to buy a food truck, yep. And it cost me more to get it legal than it did for the whole food truck.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, you know,
that was Odin Star.
Great State.
Great State, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That thing was a
nightmare. Well, it's
yeah.
not costing me more to... Mine's a little backwards right now. The truck cost me more than to get it legal.
Well, if anybody out there ever buys a food truck in Oregon, they have different LNI rules. And so that was my problem. Is I was like, oh, man, this looks great. And then I brought it to Washington. They're like, everything's wrong.
Does that mean that people, they just don't value people in Oregon? They're like, oh, anything goes.
You
like,
know, put that fryer like on top. That's the case because my food truck came from Oregon, and they don't require fire suppression systems in their trucks.
So why? Yeah, because I mean, weird. It's Oregon.
No,
like,
I
know.
I had to put in a fire suppression. Yeah.
Okay, so now we've established that you're ready to make some money. How do you decide your pricing? Because you can't, you know. Damon said he kind of looked at other places and the same thing. Yeah. You got a lot of money to make back. Like, how do you build onto your price now? Are you just going to start, like, how are you pricing your food?
I mean, I'm pricing it because I'm old school. I mean, I went to school for finances. Okay. So my biggest thing is I break down the entire ingredient or the entire recipe, right?
Like, so you're buying food cost.
I have it broken all the way down to the last penny of what I'm buying. And I'm not just buying, like, you know, from the grocery store. I'm going bulk, right?
Because
I need warehouse or wholesale pricing and stuff like that on these ingredients. So I've broken it down and I'm looking at what my profit margin got to be. You know, working in food, I'm looking for a certain percentage. Yep. I don't have any other labor right now. Yeah. It's just me. Yep. So I'm going to keep it that
way,
hopefully.
Makes it a little easier.
Yeah, for a little while. So, you know, I'm being true to the public and I'm trying to give them this great quality. Everything's from scratch. I'm not buying anything from a jar. Bringing recipes back from
Korea.
You
feel like that helps the labor? I mean, the food cost?
You know, yes and no sometimes.
I feel like it used to, and now it's a bit harder.
It is a little harder, and that's why I wanted to kind of have this conversation, because like, I just want to be true to the food. I'm not ready to go out there and buy a jar of something that's filled with 12 ingredients that nobody understands wants to give their body, right? So... it makes it a little bit tougher because I'm looking at it going, well, I'm going to have to charge, you know, this X dollar amount for a burrito. Are people going to buy it? You know, but I also go out there and I enjoy a lot of food and I'm willing to pay it.
It's a hard thing. Like, what do you know what locations you're going to be at? Or like, have you? I know that's.
Jotted a bunch of stuff down. Right. I've reached out to a couple of places.
Are you hoping like a South Lake Union thing? Are you hoping like breweries?
More right now, more breweries and events. Cool. Right. So South Lake Union, like I'm really hopeful for it, but I'm just not sure like what does the clientele look like? And I haven't even dabbled to go look yet. I haven't done my research.
They don't really care about their food. Is like I mean that's kind of, that's
well,
I mean
the Amazonians, they just want a cheap dollar point and they don't care about ingredients.
So that's why I specifically do not go to South Lake Union.
And there's a lot of there used to be a lot of construction workers that would come by too.
Yeah.
I assume they're still there.
But I'm looking for someone who wants good quality food too.
And you'll find that at breweries, you'll find that at events.
I think being a young mom, the brewery is like she'd probably have a lot more fun there than she would in South Lake Union.
Yeah. did you have an LNI story? I thought maybe I caught something. Hey, what's the
food trucks? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We actually, after we opened last year, I also, you know, had the idea of, you know, a food truck will be a, you know, good idea for testing a second location.
Yeah.
I purchased a food truck down in Miami, right here.
And you drove it from Miami to here?
Yeah, and actually had to, like, send it back because it was so much, you know, it had so much issues, you know, getting the permits.
Yeah.
That, you know, it wasn't worth it.
Wow. Yeah. So, like, what were some of the issues with the truck?
No, basically, the inspector saw the car, and he told me that I needed to, like, rewire all the electrical again because Washington requires some, like, wiring to be visible. This food truck was brand new.
Yeah.
It was, everything was, like, I mean, really good, like, real quality. But, you know, rewiring, it was almost like half of the cost of the food truck. Yeah. So it didn't make any sense. So
wild.
I took it back, sold it. Yeah.
The other option is get a food cart. No LNI.
Really?
I don't do LNI on my food cart. It's a beautiful thing. You want to talk about Chili Crisp?
David Chang!
What happened?
Dude, Dave Chang, who I love.
You do love. What do you love about him?
I feel like he's a pretty real guy. I mean, I think he tries to stay connected to his culture, mm-hmm. And he still has the passion of a sweaty line cook. I don't know. I understand a lot of small businesses were being affected by his.
Do you want to recap the whole thing?
Yeah. So David Chang wanted to trademark Chili Crunch. Was it Chili Crisp or Chili Chunk?
It's Crunch.
Right. I think the decision, the article I read was the decision was made a couple years back when they wanted to just take this section of grocery shelves and be like, all right, let's trademark this. Everybody else can use Chili Crisp. But there's a lot of small businesses out there that were already using Chili Crunch, and it would have hurt them hard.
So basically they couldn't afford to pay. Like,
right. And he's like, well, you know, we're still going to move forward with this. This has been our plan the whole time. But, you know, eventually it looks like it's set in that he's hurting the people that, you know, he actually cares about.
Yeah.
And so he withdrew the trademark and
man, you have a wild take on this.
Well, I mean, what's yours?
The first thing I'm going to say is like, I read the did you guys read these articles? Do you see the crypto? Okay. It got blasted and everyone hated on them. And I want to not believe it. I didn't want to believe it.
Well, you're also on Reddit, so.
That's true.
You get the unfiltered version. Section, yeah.
But the thing is, he is, at least in what I've seen, a kind of hated person. He's kind of like the Thomas Keller thing, like a lot, you know, yelling at a lot of people. You know, that kind of attitude. So a lot of people just call him Chef Bro and I'm, you know, whatever. I think the good moral of the story. So, you know, obviously I think we have two different viewpoints. I'm not a big fan of him.
Which is healthy.
Yeah. And that's why we have a healthy relationship. But anyway, it sounds like he did the right thing. He heard the feedback and he just withdrew everything.
Which I think is huge for a person in his position.
Totally. I'm sure it's a little PR cleanup, whatever, but like, yeah, it's you know, you tried and you fucked up and you heard what people said.
People I've talked to who have worked with David Chang have all told me a similar story about him, like with head and hands in the back of the kitchen. Like, I think he's a stressor. Like, he really stresses hard on people's opinions.
Well, he should know that I think his new show really sucks.
Really?
There's no background music. It's so awkward. And it made me so inspired to do my own thing. I was like, this is so bad, I could do better.
I like it.
Well, I guess welcome to season two. speaking of Momofuku and all that stuff in Vegas, you're going to Vegas soon, or what's the deal?
The way I go to Vegas is I just on a whim.
Yeah.
No, I had an employee asking me. Her and her boyfriend are going to see Fish this weekend.
Okay, cool.
At the Sphere, and she said, "Hey, Dave.
Oh, wow, what experience?
You got any? You got any recommendations?" And I haven't been to Vegas since my drinking days.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, most of the restaurants I ate at are probably gone.
I've for years I've made fun of Fish fans and like the fanatic. It's kind of like the Dead and following whatever. I was like, kind of make fun of the music all the time. And then recently I realized that like Mars Volta isn't that far off. And like, I saw him the last two summers. Like last summer I went and saw him in Colorado. And like I my friend Alinda, she's a huge fan. And we were kind of like, we're looking at the dates. And I'm like, I got to see this fucking band this summer. And they like, it was either Columbus, Ohio or whatever. And then literally this announces big kind of monumental concert at Golden Gate Park with System of a Down and the Deftones. And
yeah, so I was wondering if that was a take on Day on the Green, but I don't think so.
No, I don't really know what it sounds like. It's 50,000 people. It sold out in like seconds. Not that I'm a huge System of a Down fan, but I think it's going to be a pretty monumental thing. 50,000 people at Golden Gate Park is going to be pretty fucking fun.
You going?
For them. I'm
going
to cook for them. Okay. So I'm going to do the backstage catering, which is great because I can go.
When
cook,
is that?
August 17th. So it should be fun. Anyway, back to Vegas. So, some of my favorites. I think my favorite place that they can walk into would be a place called Best Friend by Roy Choi, from Koji.
Yeah,
it's at the MGM. It's Korean, like kind of. It's fucking just a dope restaurant. It's probably the only. I went there two nights in a row. I was so impressed the first night. I went with a big group, and then I came the second night with another buddy. So Best Friend is probably my favorite place in Vegas. Latai on the Strip. is amazing. Everyone talks about Tacos El Gordo. And then I was going to say, if you're going to go fancy, E by Jose Andreas is, I think you need reservations like, you know, 6 months in advance kind of thing. But like I did it, I don't know, a couple years or like maybe 10 years ago. And you know, it's like, it's next to Bazaar. Bazaar is like the bigger one. And it's like, I think maybe 12 seats and it was like maybe 22 courses. So like very whimsical, like, yeah. No, it was a really great. It's like $275, but a really crazy, awesome dining experience. The one thing I will say, to wrap it up on Vegas, I hate all the chain. Like, you know, I've been to Momofuku. I've been to Egg Slut. I've been to like, you know, Nobu, and I don't like any of those places. Like, I don't like any of the places, Bouchon, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, that's famous from somewhere else.
You're a big Hell's Kitchen dude, though, huh?
Oh, my favorite, dude. Love that Wellington. Welly. Yeah, so I don't know. But my opinion is I stay away from those things. Let's see. Dave, you eat anywhere recently?
Yeah. So Tuesday, I've been promising my mom and Paige lunch in Leavenworth. So we left North Bend pretty early and grabbed breakfast in Cle Elum at this cute little spot called Stella's. And, you know, they have some really solid dishes. I had the biscuits and gravy. Yeah. You know, they have some really nice breakfast items and good coffee. Then we went over to Leavenworth and, of course, hit the sausage at Cured. And, you know, there's like 20 different sauces to put on it. But, you know, little mountain eats. And then yesterday after service, there's this really cool dude, Brandon Cassidy. He owns Amarillo Barbecue in Duval.
Okay. In Duval, cool.
Yeah, and owning a barbecue spot, you know, I have to say, his is my favorite bar.
Oh, nice, cool
barbecue in the area. He does a solid job. All his sides are super good. He's a great person.
As someone that has, you know, I see you doing these trips and you eat a lot of barbecue. Like, what makes a barbecue person's favorite barbecue restaurant? What is he doing that's so special?
Well, a lot of when I take a trip, you know, those aren't places I can go to on the reg, but. He number one, he's just a good guy. Number two, he cares about the same things we care about.
Where his food comes from.
Talking to his employees, they're all super like happy.
Good culture.
Yeah. And we do run the same lines of Kitchen Stripes. He's a Belltown cat. Yeah. Okay. Chris Morgan was with me and we chatted a while. All of us have like crossed paths and at some point like ships in the night. So it's not surprising that we would like each other's food.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does Texas style. You know, and so we do have different styles.
Yep.
But his there's some good vegetables going on there. I just like to see it's not just like meat heavy and I don't give a fuck about the sides. Yeah. Like he does care about every piece coming out of that place. And that I appreciate.
Dude, barbecue's about the sides. It's about them fixings.
It is. And like, a lot of people give that a second. You know, they're just like, psh, you know, they give the meat all their attention. That was like one of the biggest bummers about eating in Texas is like you go to
Very meat folk. Yeah.
Yeah. You go to Terry Black's and you're like, yeah, the brisket's good. The pork's good. But this macaroni and cheese is like five fucking days old. The cornbread like was shipped here by a fucking Little Debbie's. I mean, it's just like what is going on?
I think I might have told you this. I remember Stubbs. There's a venue in I think Austin. Stubbs Barbecue. It's also a barbecue restaurant. I remember the band I was on tour with, we were vegan and I was vegetarian at the time, and they did not accommodate us at all.
Any
other places?
Nah, man, that's the
Damien. You're journey. In the heart of Fremont. A lot of great spots by you. Seawolf and Malin. Well, I don't think Malin's around anymore.
We usually go on Fridays to Local Tide.
Yeah.
The Alba Cortuna sandwich is.
I just went there with my daughter for her birthday, and fuck, I love that spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's on top of my list. I still haven't been there.
For pizza, we go to Lupo.
Yep.
And usually I get breakfast for the team at Layers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're right
there. What are your items at Layers?
Oof, the Notorious PIG.
Yeah.
He's that amazing. Oof.
Yes.
Cool. Any other spots that you want to shout
yesterday
out?
We went to The Boat.
Yeah, okay.
They do a chicken dish.
Yep.
Three variations. You can do chicken soup, chicken and noodles, or chicken and rice.
Yep.
but it's perfect.
And it's like name one of the best restaurants in Seattle. I still haven't been. I gotta make it down there, but worth the trip.
Yes, cool. Pricing. I mean, everything is amazing.
Nice, Julie. Where do you like to eat? What are your inspirations?
Everything. I mean, Korean food. I know that sounds crazy because that's all I cook, but.
What are some of your favorite Korean places in Seattle?
You know, I've been trying some new barbecue places, but it's up north. I feel like a bigger Korean scene is up in Linwood, Edmonds area. So for sure. Tried a Korean barbecue place up in Linwood with some friends recently. So had a great experience there. And bakeries. That's my when bakeries. I go out to eat, I don't know why, but I'm always ending up at a bakery.
What are some of your favorite like dessert places?
I am a big like croissants person.
Okay.
So still deep down trying to find my favorite place.
Temple Pastries. And that's the croissant, right? Yeah.
I'll give them a try next. Yeah. Let's see. What are the most recent places? No joke. Dose. Tried you guys recently. And the guava one was hands down my favorite. So I had to give that a shout out real quick. I also tried Paper Cake Shop right next door to you guys because they have some, I'll call them exotic flavors. And I'm really into how people mix and match flavors. Like black sesame is a really big flavor in my profile right now. So
have you had the Watson's Deuces?
No.
Watson's Counter, they do these churros. They do the black sesame. Yeah, it's a disgusting name. And he's a disgusting person.
No, I haven't had it, but yes, I have. And Watson's I had a great experience though.
Before I get into what I ate this week, also want to thank you, Damien, for giving us the donut for the bear. It was such a cool experience. I think I might have told the story where I was kind of stressing out about the donut because Damon had way too much on his plate, and then we kind of had some of mine. They couldn't do it, and then you literally knocked on my door like a dishwasher. I'm like, fuck, we figured it out. So thank you for that. Do you see pictures of the plates and everything?
Yes, love it.
Such an amazing finale to the night. So thank you for making it so special and collaborating with us. I know I already talked about it, but I've been, Julie, you're going to love this. Like having Josh's food like at the place where I work at when I get home, you know, get back is amazing. And I've been eating these fucking cheesesteaks every day.
I was going to say, isn't he doing chili?
He's doing a burger and he's doing a cheesesteak and wings and like carne asada fries. It's just bar food. Done really well. Like, if you know anything about Josh, whether you love him or hate him, like, he knows how to fucking cook.
What are the hours of
great question? So, I think
he's doing last call.
I don't want to fuck this up.
Don't fuck it up.
It's like a 2 to 10, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sure about that?
Pretty sure. Okay. I think Sunday might be, it might be 11. It might be 11, but I'm saying 10 because I know it's at least till 10.
Okay, okay.
Another favorite, like, divey kind of spot. You ever go to Mike's Chili Parlor?
Yeah.
Ah, I love that fucking spot. Cash only, like, just awesome vibe.
Yeah, it's classic.
You know, it's kind of close by the kitchen, and it's just like, that was a really hard week last week, man. Like, you know, just been being sick and the bear. And blah,
I was worried about you last week.
And oh, fuck, dude. I was like, everyone told me, I saw Jamie, pastry boy, and, you know, he was like, man, you look really stressed out in all those pictures. I'm like, dude, I was on something else. But I just remember, like, I was heading to the kitchen to prep, and I felt, you know, it was like, you know, maybe Thursday or something like that, where I was like, dude, like, I didn't even get a break. And, like, I was going to prep. I go, nope. I need a Mike's chili break and fucking got that giant chili dog. Switch gears and hit up went and saw Denali at Art of the Table.
Denali doing?
Dude, it's so awesome to see him flourish. Like, Art of the Table is such a great restaurant. We got the 6-course. Have you been there? Were you there when Roger worked there or in Fremont? It's a new location.
No,
but
I have not
been there. Like, I don't know. It's fine dining. It's you know, just
I've been waiting for you to invite me.
the flavor profiles are insane. Just really thought out dishes. They change the menu every 2 weeks, so it's one of those things where it's just like so impressive because like you know, I've been meaning to change the menu on my cart, and I can't change fucking two items in 2 years. And like, these guys come
You've been meaning to change the menu for two seasons.
Yeah, right? Maybe season eight. Yeah, so thank you, Denali and Art of the Table for an amazing night. Ironically, favorite dish of the night? The gnocchi. And then last night, headed over to Secret Fort in Wallingford.
I love that name.
Yeah, really cool. Yakitori style spot. Unfortunately, Indigo Cow was closed. That was the plan. We were walking around on Golden Gardens on the beach. And I was like, fuck, I want yakitori. And we went there. I was like, dude, yakitori and Japanese ice cream sounds fucking perfect. But the ice cream was closed, but Secret Fort did a great job as usual. So yeah, that was the week. Dave, before we get out of here, is there anything you want to plug?
Please check out the GoFundMe for the businesses that were taken out by the fire. And for vendors out there, the festival in North Bend and Snoqualmie Days looks like they're looking for vendors. Amarillo Barbecue will be at Snoqualmie Days, so cool. You'll have two great barbecue spots in the same block.
Is that an event you're doing?
Snoqualmie Days is on the street that Buckshot Honey is on. And so, yeah, it'll be super fun.
Nice. And what dates?
I don't have those in my head right now, but I'll get back to you on that.
You get mad at me because I don't know the restaurant hours.
Dude, I have so much going on. After the show today, I got to go sign a new lease. You know, Paige is moving to Chicago in 2 weeks. And so my girlfriend at the moment, but soon to be ex, she's taking the dog. Like my life is kind of like
season two.
Everything's going to be great. Yep. I know. And these are all the right decisions. And, you know, we're both on the same page, and this is just what's best. Yeah. But at the same time, all of this is just a lot.
Yeah. And where are you signing a lease?
I'm getting a little two bedroom down in downtown North Bend, which is going to be fun because I've been living in the woods for the past 7 years. So
how long is your commute going to be?
Like 5 minutes.
Cool. Damien. You got South Lake Union Open. You got Fremont. What do you got to plug?
Nothing. Just come. I mean, come to the shop. We're open Wednesday through Sundays, 8 a.m. from to 1 p.m.
When do you start selling out of certain items?
On the weekends at 10 a.m. But people can order online.
Okay.
Days ahead.
And pick up whatever.
During business hours.
There you go.
So this way they can secure.
That is amazing because, you know, like there is a certain fun part about like getting to a place and stuff selling out. You know, like there is it's a good feeling that, you know, or even, you know, for Buckshot when you're operating at capacity, the product's still good. You know, there's still a fun part
of that. It's nice to see the refrigerators empty because, you know, everything's coming in fresh and you're just going to do it again.
But like, that's a nice little twist where it's like, when you go to, you know, I've been to Deep Sea Sugar, and I've seen people like bitch, like, oh, like how can you sell out or whatever? It's like, well, because that's what their job is. But this is kind of
good.
This is kind of a nice little like, hey, you have so many options not to fuck up if you want donuts. Like you can pre-order, you can fucking get there early.
Well, it's like you train your customers too. The past two, I do baby back ribs on Sundays. The past two Sundays, we've sold out because everybody gets there right when we open. Yeah. Calls them in right when we open. And all the, you know, the ticket rail is just filled with ribs.
Baby,
and then it's like, all right, we're out.
Nice. Julie, when can we try your food? Working on it.
I mean, you can try it visually. Yeah. Check out my social. I'm posting all my stuff.
What's your handle?
Heartandsoul.seattle.
Heartandsoul.seattle. All right, we'll post that after this. And hoping to get up and running, you said June-ish?
Cool. Yep.
All right, well, I wanted to have you on because, one, we're friends, and two, like, I don't want to have a bunch of the same guests on. We've talked about that, but now we're in season two, so I don't mind
having me on every week.
That's true. But I do want to follow your story and keep people updated because I think it's... Yeah, it's an important story to tell of what it's like, you know, as a small business.
It'll be fun to follow you from this point till, you know.
Till she goes, I never want to do a food
till
truck
season
again.
Three, when you're all jaded and you're like, fuck food trucks.
But cool, man. All right, what's going on this week?
What's going on with you, Sid?
Oh, Saturday, Max High presenting Foodie Fest at the Stoneway Cafe. God, I hope I got that right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
did I do that right?
I used to eat there all the time because we kept there's a parking lot right behind it where I kept the food truck.
Oh, okay, cool. So what it is, I think I've talked about before. I went to the last one to check it out, and it's just a fun food festival with a bunch of pop-ups. Off the top of my head, I know Sully's going to be there, American Crab.
It's right next to Whalen's, right?
I don't know.
Move on.
No, this is down south. Down south. So I definitely got the name wrong then.
Stoneway Cafe is on Stoneway. It's right across from Seawolf Bakery.
Yeah, that's not it. Okay, I'm going to look this up while I do this real quick. Also, you know what's funny? I had probably four people visit me this week that came to the Bear Dinner, and they all said the same thing. And they all said, how are you going to top it? Because, like, you know, with the surprise restaurant, whatever. And most people would say that's a good thing. I'd take that as a terrible thing. Like, I'm panicking. And and I was last night, I was walking around the beach and just staring into the ocean, and I figured out what's next.
Little whale popped up.
And so we're going to do a free willy pop. No, anyway.
Hit sit on some rocks with a whale jumping over them.
We're just going to serve the whole whale. That's how I topped it. All right. But I am so excited about this concept because it's. It's gonna be cool, and we'll talk about it. I'm not gonna tell because like it's only been one day. It's kind of bake and but unfortunately for my team, for Damon and the two Heathers and Denali, I'm just like texting them.
The two Heathers.
Anyway, all right, guys. Well, that's a lot of fun. Go see Damien at Dulce Donuts. We'll see Julie on the street soon. Baby back ribs on Sundays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us on
the. Seattle
Podcast
Restaurant. See you next time. Bye.